You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Even under the best circumstances, travel is stressful for horses. We've all been there, stuck on the side of the road in the middle of nowhere. You can make the journey knowing that US Rider is there for you. Get peace of mind on the road with U.S. Rider's nationwide 24/7 roadside assistance coverage for both you and your horse. Join today at usrider.org.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Adam D'Agostino from Alfred University. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So the topic we're talking about today is something that I think most training and boarding barn owners and managers have dealt with, and that's client communication. So could you start and by telling us, just from your perspective, what are the most common communication challenges training and boarding barns face with their clients today?
I think sometimes transparency, and I don't think it's necessarily intentional, lack of transparency on either party's part. I feel that we're in a very busy world, and in a digital age, some things can get overlooked. So oftentimes, it could be something as simple as miscommunicating time, but also miscommunicating a horse's care needs. And unfortunately, all of those things can lead to bigger issues, especially long term. But I also think choosing a platform correctly to communicate with can be a challenge because not everybody involved in that relationship may have the same comfort level with technology. So those are all kind of just barriers that I've experienced in all the different farms that I've worked with.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's such a good point because I've been at barns where clients might prefer paper invoices and communications while others are like, no, just email me. You don't need to print something out. So can you tell us a little bit why clear communication is so important in the barn setting, especially where emotions, money, and horses are all involved? I think the biggest one is emotions for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we all got into horses because we care about them. And I think that's something that can get lost in the sauce sometimes because we all approach horses from a very different perspective. And when you take a bunch of individuals who are very passionate about something and put them together in one area, that can lead to some miscommunications, which then can lead to hurt feelings, especially when, you know, larger sums of money are being exchanged. There's no secret that horses do cost a pretty penny. And so when folks are, you know, giving over their hard-earned dollars, there can be some more emotional sides to that as well. And horses are not a perfect science. They do get hurt, sometimes to nobody's fault. And they also can just be enigmatic when it comes to their care because they don't speak our language and we have to try to interpret that. So as someone who manages them or somebody who's boarding them, that can be a higher degree of difficulty for communication. And, you know, everybody has a different way to approach it. So I think that to me is why clear communication is so important, to kind of lay all out what your business is capable of doing. And then as a client, what your expectations are. And I think both ends need to be flexible. And that only comes from having a healthy relationship with communication, which with whatever way you choose to use, that just needs to be known. So if you're someone who prefers to email back and forth, that should be known right at the beginning of that relationship. And that will help keep that communication line much more open and easier for everybody to use.
Absolutely. I like that you mentioned flexibility because that's something I think many of us horse people struggle with. I know I've been accused of not being super flexible when it comes to my horses. So it's a good reminder for us all to practice it, including myself. So let's just start by talking about the beginning of a relationship, maybe when somebody decides they're going to move their horse into your barn. What are some expectations that the trainer and the barn manager should clearly communicate right from the get-go?
So I always communicate our spoken and unspoken rules right off the bat. I usually use a contract with any service that I provide, whether it's a judging service or a barn boarding service, or even as a trainer or a show coach. That contract lays out, you know, basic expectations from financial exchange. Sometimes they'll put hours in there so folks are aware of when to contact me. I also talk about how I invoice them and, you know, what services that I offer as well. And everything's outlined. My contract's about 4 pages long, and I outline all of those things specifically, so there aren't a lot of questions to be had. There are always questions, of course. And so I expect that the client who wants to do business with me is open-minded, but also is not afraid to come to me with questions. And I'm pretty clear about that in my initial interaction with them. You know, when you call me and you want to board a horse here, I encourage you to ask me questions. And I may ask you a few questions about your horse or about what your expectations are, just to get that ball rolling. This is a really crucial point at the beginning of a relationship to kind of establish that boundary for the trainer, but also the boundary for the client, and try to figure out where that mutual agreement works. And not all the time does that continue through the whole relationship, but I think starting off on a strong foot and just being really on top of your do's and don'ts and what rules you have will help everybody make the best decision throughout the course of that relationship.
Definitely. I think some of my best relationships with vets, farriers, barn managers, really anybody in the equine industry have all started with us both being very clear about what we're looking for and any problems that we feel need to be addressed immediately.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about the difficult conversation of boundaries. I know horse people also are not great at setting boundaries. So could you just tell us how we can set boundaries with clients without damaging that relationship?
I think just being direct and clear. You know, a lot of folks are sometimes uncomfortable to be that way. And I think if these are your barn hours, you stick to them. And if there is a reason why that client may have to interact with your services outside of those hours, you have a specific protocol for handling off-hours communication. So for example, my clients know that they can pretty much get a hold of me 9 to 9 by my cell phone. But after hours, I expect that they would email me something. And basically, that filters out a lot of those late night emergency anxiety questions from those clients. But also, it helps me not miss any important communications that sometimes come from those spur of the moment anxious feelings. That has helped me maintain positive boundaries with my clients. And also, I'm very clear on my expectations of my horse care and what they are supposed to do in my business and at a barn. So, for example, when we go to a horse show, the way my business is set up, my clients all work with each other to help take care of the barn in the morning. That's just a method that's always worked for me. They know that helps lower the cost for them because I don't have to hire an assistant to come in and do it for them. But also, they need to all pull their own weight. And so that is a communication that they get right out the gate. You know, at our horse shows, everyone's expected to pitch in and support one another. And that takes some time for some people to get used to if they're coming from a barn with a different service style. But for the most part, as long as you're really transparent and clear in the beginning, you should be able to maintain that boundary and avoid too many difficult conversations moving forward.
Yeah, something that I've heard from a lot of people is a reason why they might feel burnt out is because clients are contacting them at all hours of the day and night and not necessarily with true emergencies. So personally, as a boarder, I've really come to love the schedule send feature for texts because I'm the type of person that might forget if I don't do it the second I think about it or make a note about it. So I just schedule the text for a normal hour. I think it's important to find little ways like that to make it work for everybody.
Absolutely. And you have to not be afraid as the professional in the group to kind of be clear with your clients that I'm not available to you 24/7 because I need to be able to maintain my mental freshness to serve you and to provide you the service that I do. And I've been really clear with each one of my clients that way. And honestly, it's not been a problem for me because I do sometimes have to be contacted in an emergency out of hours. And so I don't want them to be afraid to use their cell phone, but it's just teaching them, you know, if you send me a text like, oh, will you make sure this bridal bag's in the trailer for the horse show at 11 o'clock at night? I may not answer you for 2 days because that's just my own way of teaching my clients, hey, that's not an urgent question. So it's not going to get an urgent response. Right. Now, if somebody calls me at midnight because, you know, they're having an issue and a physical issue and it's going to affect their lesson the next day, that's a different call for me. So I just, you know, want to make sure that they understand how to communicate with me and why, and that again, avoids a lot of frustration moving forward. But I pretty much stick to that hard 9 p.m. cutoff that unless it's something really emergent, I'm not going to get to them till the next day. But I do use the schedule send text message feature often. And that is, I agree with you, an excellent tool. I also will use email after hours because you have to kind of lead in the way that you ask them to follow. So if I need to contact all of my clients, I may do that by email after hours as well.
That's great. Yeah, that's a really good point as well. So something that I see every now and again in barns is where the staff might have issues with horse owners. So could you tell us about common misunderstandings you might see between the barn staff and owners and how the people in charge of the barn could prevent those?
Yeah, so it's giving them my clients an advocate for themselves. So if it's a boarding facility, the barn manager is their advocate. And you know, oftentimes people can misunderstand what's happening with their horse, or maybe they're observing something that's not correct. I make them very clear, my barn staff are people paid to do a job, and it's not your job to manage them. So if you don't like something that they're doing, please bring it to my barn manager's attention. If the barn manager happens to be the issue, then come to me and we'll work to solve it to the best. Because everybody that works here cares about the animals they're caring for, but we don't always get it right 100% of the time. And when we do, it's about admitting those mistakes and moving forward. But if you approach somebody out of frustration and you're aggressive, you're cutting that communication line in half. And that's where tension starts. So it's helping people understand that, you know, if you come in and your horse doesn't have water in its buckets and that makes you really mad, try to read the whole situation before just going after one of my employees. And certainly keeping an open mind. If misunderstandings occur, it's just part of human nature. I try to always respond with a pretty neutral tone and figuring it out. It takes a lot for me to lose my temper, and I really work on my staff here at my current facility to have the same mentality that, you know what, if someone's really frustrated in your direction for that given day, try to diffuse the situation and excuse yourself and get the next level of leadership. Because at the end of the day, that's not really what they're here for. I expect them to be polite and to do the best that they can. And that usually diffuses that whole situation. You know, preventing them before they can happen, that's not something that I can say is a perfect science. But again, I think keeping a clear line of communication and expectation is what keeps everybody in the situation happy, and staff included. You know, my staff need to be empowered to understand why they're doing what they're doing so they can explain it to a client should they be asked. But in general, keeping that open line of communication to the top has helped me avoid a lot of those tension moments between staff and clients.
Yeah, those are some really good points. I especially like making sure that your barn staff knows why they're doing certain things. I think that's so common, is they might just be told to do something and they don't really understand, and then that might create more tension. So I just think, like you said, keeping communication lines open about that is super helpful. So let's talk about how often trainers and barn managers should be communicating updates about horses to the clients and what methods work best. Are you someone who likes to share every detail about a horse's day or something that has happened, or do you kind of have to work a balance there?
I definitely work a balance. So my clients come in for generally weekly lessons, so that's the primary update. I absolutely involve them in any major injury or anything that's involved pretty quickly. And then in terms of their day-to-day updates, I just don't have time to tolerate that. But my barn, when it's open during operational hours, is open to my clients. So, you know, if they want to come see how their horse is doing, they have the freedom to walk in the door and do that. They may not get me and my time, but they can come in and visit with their horse. I don't see an issue with that. And I haven't seen an issue with that. But if they want to use the arena or use my time, those are things that need to be scheduled. And so I would say on average, I expect to communicate with my clients at least twice a week, generally by text, just because that is where we're at as a society. And it's a lot easier for us to, you know, get quick messages across. Of course, you know, there is the monthly contact of sending in the invoice. So that's another part of it. And so I think there's a couple different methods that work. I think in-person, face-to-face communication is the richest form of communication. So I try to incorporate that method as much as I can. But I've had clients who don't live in the same state or country, and so that's a little more challenging. Then I usually try to schedule at least a monthly phone call, if not a weekly phone call. And that depends on what the client's involvement is with their horse. And then from there, it's kind of just a mix of other methods. You know, if their horse has done something kind of cool or remarkable, I might send them a little video update. So that kind of depends in a training situation of what's going on. As far as the barn goes, I think, you know, a barn manager's job is to keep the horse alive and well cared for. It is not their job to update the owner on every little thing their horse does. And so I feel when you're boarding, when you're paying somebody to have your animal there, you know, you should be coming to visit that animal. If you're not able to do so, at least set up a realistic timeline of what you would like that barn owner or barn manager to communicate with you. And that can be a very challenging situation because sometimes people don't see eye to eye in what they think is reasonable, a reasonable timeline for updates. And, you know, I just don't have time in my day to take a picture of somebody's horse every day and say, oh, this is what they're doing today. But I honestly have not met anybody that expects that either. So, and I think it's a catch 22, you know, if you want constant updates, but you're not willing to come visit your horse, that might not be a successful relationship for most barns to manage.
Definitely. What a good point. I think something that probably every barn manager has had to do, unfortunately, is deliver difficult news, such as maybe a behavior problem with the horse, vet recommendation, or maybe they've gotten themselves injured. As you mentioned, horses will do lots of crazy things, unfortunately. So if the client maybe disagrees with this idea or is upset by what happened, how can the conversation stay productive rather than confrontational?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best way to kill confrontation is to be direct. You know, I think if you try to sugarcoat it or soften the blow, you're not coming from an educational standpoint. And as a barn owner or barn manager or director or whatever you choose to do for your career, it's your job to be able to navigate that difficult language with someone who may not have the same level of education as you. But that being said, sometimes you have boarders who are more educated than you. I mean, I've had plenty of veterinarians who are boarding in my facilities that are way more educated on equine health than I am. So it's just about being the person to transfer that news. If it's stemming from a decision that I made, you kind of have to fall on the sword a little bit. And part of that is building that trust with that client. But disagreements happen. And the hard part is trying to figure out how to prevent that person from escalating in their anger without giving up your ethics. You know, if I feel a horse is sore because it needs shoes and that client doesn't believe me, it's my job to provide them with as much information as reasonable without stepping over their personal boundaries. Because at the end of the day, it's their horse, it's who they're paying for. But if they're crossing an ethical barrier with me, I might bring that up in the conversation to say, you know, I have to have sound horses at this barn. That's a part of my reputation. And, you know, the care that we're able to provide is not meeting your needs. And so I think it might be time to part ways. But at the end of the day, you can't control however someone's going to react to the news you give them. So you just have to try to regulate your own emotions and be prepared with as much information about whatever scenario you're in as possible.
Yeah, I think as someone who boards a horse but still likes to be relatively involved in what's going on, I really do appreciate a very direct conversation. If something's going on, maybe there's an issue, it makes me feel like I can communicate very directly with them. And then we almost always come to a solution much quicker than we would have if we beat around the bush or sugarcoated something.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, we all know horses are accident prone. It doesn't mean they want to be, but they're big animals. They're being kept in a confined space and things can happen. So I think as long as everybody understands that in the beginning, and the timeline of communication is efficient and productive, generally speaking, major confrontation will be avoided.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier about how you use text and email now to communicate with your clients, largely because that's just what we do today as a society. But could you tell us a little bit about how social media has maybe changed the way barns communicate with their clients?
Well, I think social media is, there's a lot of amazing things about it. It can help you promote your barn. It can help you promote the success of your clientele. And it can be used as a really good feel-good tool. I think it also has created an information overload. And so with that comes the representation of so many different ways to run a barn. And for a manager, that can be confusing, let alone a client who's looking at a barn management system from only their perspective. And so I think social media has certainly complicated how barns can kind of maintain respect for their system within their barn. And so that takes a lot of communication to get your clients to stay focused on this is how we do things at stable A. And even though they do that at stable B, that's great for them. Maybe they have an opening if you feel you'll be happier there. But, you know, at the same time, social media is kind of a carefully managed tool. I do think barn owners and managers need to be educated on social media, because if you stay out of it, that's where most people are communicating nowadays. So at least having a basic education on it can help you avoid some issues. You know, I have a policy in my current barn for my clients, so my students, that they are not allowed to have their cell phones on them while they're in the barn, unless they're, you know, in a working scenario. So I have some clients that also work for us as well. And when they're here as a guest, their phone stays in a cubby because everybody on staff has their phone. And the reason why we do that, we're trying to teach them to be aware and be safe in a barn. If they want their ride videoed, we're happy to do it for them. But that way, we're also kind of controlling the content that comes out of our barn, because we're in an age where social media can be weaponized against a lot of traditional horsemanship practices. And we just want to be really careful with that. And so I communicate that with my clients to help them understand, like, hey, it's not that we're hiding anything, because we aren't, but it's the idea that we want to make sure we're representing ourselves in a certain way. And we want you to have that sense of pride riding here. And we do involve them in that, of course, you know, but as far as communication goes, I try not to use social media to communicate really anything to my clients. It's more about communicating to the world what's going on in our barn.
Definitely. Well, I also like the idea of not having your phone on you constantly at the barn, because it's also just a safety concern. I mean, how many of us have been walking, looking down, answering a text message, and in the barn setting? That's just really not a good idea.
Oh, yeah. The two biggest injuries I've seen in my career, both cell phones were in hand in both. And, you know, I think it is definitely a barn still has to be an area where you have a higher level of awareness, because there's a lot of moving parts to it. And while barns aren't inherently dangerous, they can become dangerous if somebody is not aware of what's going on around them. So that's the primary reason we take it away. But also, it's just to help everybody learn and grow together and feel safe to do so. And, you know, when you have a lesson going on, I don't want my students being distracted by other barn members who might be videoing them or something of that nature. Not that that's happened frequently, but I just find in general, I like to use social media in a very pointed way, and I don't really use it for direct line communication.
Definitely. That's also a really good point. So we're coming to the end of our time today. Unfortunately, I just have one more question for you. And yeah, that's sure. If a barn owner listening today wanted to improve their client communication immediately, what are two or three simple changes that they could implement right away?
Yeah, so I think a one-on-one with every client is really important, just to get a kind of an overall temperature read of where you're at with each client. And you'll start to get a general consensus of kind of how your management style works. So I think that's really important. To me, one-on-ones, again, are most effective in person, but that might not be the reality for everybody. So those are things you want to schedule, and try to keep a tighter timeline depending on the number of clients you have. I get if you have 80 boarders, you're not going to be able to do that in a reasonable 2-week period. But, you know, I would definitely start right there if you feel you do not have a strong communication situation in your barn. Once you have that, you know, you take some notes, and once you have that all done, evaluate all those notes and kind of give yourself an audit of what your communication habits are, and then come up with a few ways to improve that. So that's one way to immediately improve that communication. I also think in general, doing a personal audit of what am I using to communicate to them? You know, am I using 5 pieces of technology to communicate one message, or am I using 1 piece of technology where really I need 2 here? And so when that happens, you need to roll that out to your clients. Just because you want to start using email overnight doesn't mean all of them are going to be looking for that email. So, you know, you want to make that change, but implement it gradually. And so really it's about taking a deep dive in. It's your business, so you have to be responsible for that communication change, and have to have a little tolerance for the fact that if you make a change anywhere in your business, it may take your clients a couple of days, weeks, to adapt. And so just keeping that open mind, but certainly those would be my 2 big pieces of advice to kind of start changing your business communication style.
Awesome. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but it's been awesome talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.